Welcome in Rick Windham as a co-pilot this morning as we go right to the KODY phone lines for our weekly legislative update with State Senator Mike Groney. Good morning, Senator Groney, and how are you today?
Good.
Morning, Mike.
Fine. First thing I wanted to mention to folks is there's a very important meeting tonight. NPPD is having going around the state, having meetings on the future of our power sources. And it's at Mid Plains Community College at 6 p.m. tonight at 204, rooms 202 and 204 at 1101 Halligan Drive. We have they have a push to shut down the Shetland power plant in the near future. By 2050 is the plan I had heard out there would be, and not directly shut it down, but to go 100% green energy. Probably knows more about it than I do because he works in the area. But OPPD, the Omaha Public Power District, is ahead of us. They want to do it by 2025. And they're looking for input from citizens about what they think the policy should be in the future. Just full steam ahead. That's the way America's operate now. We put mandates on vaccines that aren't even approved by FDA, and then now we plan a energy program without even know if the technology is going to be there to make it viable that we have that can replace reliable fossil fuel and nuclear power. That's how the country is being run. Go ahead.
I'll disagree a little bit with you there. We know the technology is not there.
All right. Today it isn't.
Right now, you know, everybody's talking about electric cars. We don't have enough power plants in this country to charge up all the electric cars that people want to have.
Yeah, I didn't realize it took that much of energy source to do it every day. That's the kind of comments we need to come in and tell those people on that board that we can't do this. I mean, they don't care.
And this would potentially have a big economic impact on Lincoln County, as you're very aware of, Senator Groney.
You know, they could convert it to nuclear. There are rumors of that, but it's more than that. It's the whole industry.
I had not heard that, but that's definitely a rumor.
Oh, yeah, a rumor. I mean, there's all sorts of rumors. We passed a law that you can do this small technology nuclear power plants that are mobile and all this stuff. But it's conjecture. It's science fiction is what they're talking about. But
yeah.
But no, I
with the process to go through on a nuke, if they said, yeah, we're going to convert Gentleman Station to nuclear power today, it would be like 2055 before we ever got a megawatt out of it.
Well, I understand. I'm just telling you the rumors out there.
Yep.
And things that I've heard. We passed that micro nuclear power thing that they can drive us nuclear power plant around on a semi portable ones and that all that technology, and there's rumors that Buffett is pursuing that and bought some power plants up in Wyoming and around the country. They're looking at converting. But anyway, that was all conjecture. But the fact is, this affects locally. We need to defend our power plant and the coal industry because it's not. We can go into arguments all the way back to day one about this global warming and is it theory or is it fact or is it is. When you start talking about terms on their website, like decarbonization, and factors to consider with decarbonization. Well, how do you decarbon the world? I mean, every carbon molecule is here. It's not going to disappear. You can't break it down and get rid of carbon. The villainization of the of the life cycle is basically what it is.
Yeah, we're a carbon-based life form from everything.
That's it. The whole photosynthetic life, the whole life system, our whole organic life system is based on it, and carbon, oxygen, and phosphate, and a few other major ones. And to try to say you're going to decarbonize, it's foolishness. And then they, just to deny what happened this year, just to look at it and with the cold snap and how Nebraska and its Gerald Gentleman and the Cooper nuclear power plant bailed out the whole Southwest power pool, which they won't admit. But it's a meeting people should look at going to and giving them some input. And then we need to look at who's running, who represents us. I'm not even sure who represents this area. And I've been lax on finding that out. And if they're up for election, we need to get folks to run for these boards. Because the radicals have. Jane Cleave and her radical sect or part of the Democratic Party has recruited, funded candidates to run for power boards and to public power boards, and they've also for the Public Service Commission. And they've been very successful at it. We don't, you know, the guy sitting next to you in church might be a nice guy, but he might be a radical environmentalist. Look into folks how they're going to vote. Ask them hard questions. Not that you know them. They come from a good family. I've had four or five people tell me that our present representative to the state school board, they just couldn't believe he voted that way. He's such a nice guy. They knew him. He was such a nice guy. He'd been involved in the community. What does that mean? That's meaningless. You're voting on somebody who's going to make decisions for you. You're not voting for nice guys, nice ladies. But now their eyes have woken up to who he really is, the individual that represents us on the state school board, and we've got some good candidates running against them. So that's what we need to do, is vet, find some good people to run for the MPPD board, and because it boils down to that. They make the decisions at the end of the day, who's on that board. And if you watch the state school board meetings lately about sex education and health standards, you've seen the arrogance, the attitude they had towards the common folks and their wishes, because they got elected. And they were really nice when they got elected, too. But but it's an important meeting. I think it is. I'm going to try to make it tonight and see if I can put a word in or two. But I need to have coffee with Rick first so he can prep me on what to say. But I mean,
what time?
He knows the technology.
What time, Mike?
I might give you a text later.
Okay.
Anyway, it's a mess, and we're going down a road of some kind of wacko religion of environmentalism, and I guess it's based. I should simplify it. The good book calls it, they worship the creation instead of the creator, and don't look at what he's given us here on this earth we're supposed to manage it. But anyway, I think it's an important meeting.
Absolutely.
Otherwise, I've stayed away from Lincoln since the session's been out. I've only been down there once. I might go down here in the next couple of weeks, but then we go back the 13th for the redistricting, and it looks like what I'm seeing is, looks like Douglas County got the biggest chunk of the new population. Lincoln grew a bunch too, but the third district of course shrunk, and it looks like maybe Douglas County, the first second congressional district, which is Omaha and Douglas County, will give up some land to the third. I don't know, we'll see what happens. They're meeting on it now.
Yeah, the official census data was released, was that Friday, I think? Sometime late last week it became public.
Yeah, Thursday, Friday. But, and it looked like we lost about 1,600 people in Lincoln County, 1,500 to 1,600. It must have been the official numbers, 3.8%. We can turn that around. We get the packing plant. We get the rail park rolling. We can become a hub in central Nebraska. So, but I think our congressional district will stay put together. Sad thing is, 27 out of 49, the scale is going to tip this year, this census, that, over half of the senators are going to be from three counties. Don't know how to fix it. Have to change the constitution and how we select, and divide up the representation if you wanted to. But the biggest thing is to have some steady growth in rural Nebraska. We, need to look at more than just agriculture. For too long, we've just gone down there and talked to agriculture. Don't get me wrong, it's important, but I don't know, my predecessors and even I haven't done enough about the property tax thing. But that's just a symptom of how we're lopsided to the east. They outvoted when it comes to how we fund things, and that's property taxes and that's ag. But if we don't focus on more like what I did on the rail park and the rural tier and the Imagine Act, where we, even in rural Nebraska, the majority of people still live in the town and work for a living. So we need to encourage some kind of growth in the urban areas of rural Nebraska, the North Platte, and the Cooks, every town, so that we can service the agriculture. But we got to be more than just ag. Otherwise, we're going to shrivel up and go away. Just a few corporate farms out here. That's just my, what I've followed, the trends of what's happening in rural America. So, what's going on locally that you've heard?
There's a couple things I wanted to address with you, Senator Groney. One is a story that came out early last week, shortly after we had our conversation with you. The Associated Press is reporting that Senator Carol Blood, considering a run for governor. You've talked about her on the program a few times before, but wanted to get your thoughts on the possibility of her throwing her hat in the ring for governor when Governor Ricketts' term limits out.
For governor? I thought she was going to run for Congress.
AP said that she's thinking about a run for governor, too, I guess. I don't know. Maybe thinking about a couple of different political offices, potentially.
Yeah, she, I don't know, she's different, but, she was on the city council there in Bellevue, and then she ran and she barely won this last time.
That was one of the closest legislative races this last election cycle.
And at all, she just, on the shirt tails of, Biden in that area is how she got in, and that's actually where they've said one of the counties that showed there might have been some fraud is Sarpy County. But anybody can throw their hat in. I can throw my hat in for president if I want to.
You've thrown it in for dog catcher.
Go for it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the problem is, have you ever seen me wear a hat? I ain't got a hat to throw in. Anyway.
We could find one.
So, but sadly, she could win. I mean, it depends how the redistricting goes. I mean, you know, you got to understand Governor Ricketts is, I think, one of the best governors we've had after you look at what he's done, how smoothly he did the flood disaster and how smoothly he's done this COVID thing by not being radical, but by policies kept us pretty darn free when you look at other states.
Yep.
I mean, he just did it moderately but conservatively and kept our freedoms. I even told some folks, you know, you don't know what he's done. You know, when back in May, when he lifted the restrictions for the state, and our local health district wanted to keep it for another 30 days, you know, with some input from the Chamber of Commerce and myself, the governor stepped in, and all of a sudden, but you don't know those kinds of things he's done. But anyway, long story short, he lost Douglas and Lancaster County last time when he ran for governor. And with these population shifts, it's not, it doesn't look good. And I don't I understand that what happens when you live in rural Nebraska, when you're free. And that's what I said to a group I spoke to the other day. You know, we want more people, but we don't want so many that we need fences to keep our neighbors honest, because we want to make sure we don't even need a fence because we can't even see our neighbor. But when people move to the city and they're crowded in, they're paranoid, they want to be protected, and then when they go to government, protect themselves from themselves and their neighbor. It's the only way I can explain it. They want government to do more for them. You and I keep our roads in good shape, and we, our driveways and stuff, they don't have them. They got the street out front. They want the government to take care of it. They want the police to be there. Well, some do. Some neighborhoods don't want the police at all anymore, but it's just a different mindset. They want the government to entertain them. So they'll pay more taxes because they want government, a collective mindset. Well, you don't live in the middle of a city unless you have a collective mindset. But it's what it is. But we're not headed the right direction. I don't know if it's happening in our public schools, this mindset that's being taught, we're moving away from being an individual, a country of individuals, to a country of a group mentality, as a whole, that you're no longer an individual, and you are now part of a group. So you do what the group does. You get vaccinated because the group does. You speak a certain way and a certain language because and certain words because that's what the group best for the group, instead of what's best for the individual. It's not a good trend. And it's call it what you call collectivism, and then you call it socialism, and then you finally call it communism as it progresses. But you got to take some personal responsibility, and you got to fear life a little bit. And not fear it, but understand it's going to give you a blow once in a while. Can't be protected from everything. And I always go back at the end of the day, tenfold, 100-fold, 1,000-fold more people have been killed by their government than they have ever been killed by their neighbor. So don't fear your neighbor. Fear your government. That all goes back to how this question started with Blood.
Yeah, with Senator Blood.
She's. I wrote my column the other day about a senator on the floor jumped me about changing a position. That's who I was talking about. She can't, don't got the gift of deductive reasoning. It's either, you know what I mean. It's just, she looks at one factor or two, or she looks at a theory, or she's one of those who looks at I want to believe this. I believe, instead of looking at the facts and saying, well, I was wrong, the facts say this. It's the wrong kind of thinking, but that's who she is. But anybody, there'll be other folks throw their hats in, you know, and try to run for office. But what was the other thing? You said you had a couple.
Oh, yeah, and you kind of brought up a little bit of how Governor Ricketts has handled the COVID-19 situation here in the state. There's a group of your colleagues that are asking Governor Ricketts to reinstate the COVID-19 site. I think this was spearheaded by Senator Michaela Kavanaugh. Wanted to get your thoughts on this, and if they reached out to you at all, Senator Groney, to jump on the bandwagon with this.
Well... Michaela Kavanaugh is the one senator that would be worse than Senator Blood running for governor, ever put in governor. She's got problems mentally, I think. But they want to use the fear tactic. Why do I need to know how many people have gotten COVID in Lincoln County? Why do I need to know that? You can. It's still posted on the HHS website. You can go find out. You can call your local health district to find out. Newspaper said GPH official begged for mask. I don't know why, but why? It's that body count they want. But the reality is the body count's way, way down. There isn't a lot passing away from it. It's just not my business. It's none of my business how many, if my neighbor got sick from whatever they got sick from. Why do we need to post that? As what the Nazis and the socialists did in Russia, I mean, as fear factor to motivate the people, that's the only reason they want that. And they want a body count. Well, then do a body count every day on cancer deaths. Do a body count every day on influenza. Let's just have a body count every day. Let's get rid of the police bladder because we don't want to criminalize the poor victims who are criminals. Let's get rid of that and let's just scare the hell out of people by putting a list of how many people, a running total of traffic deaths, that just get people who are afraid of dying and are fear living, and let's give them a reason to stay under the bed. Let's just list it. It's propaganda. That's all she wants. She wants to scare people with data. But no, they haven't reached. Oh, she did. She sent an email to all of the senators and asked them to sign on. Oh, by the way, there's been two deaths in Nebraska, at least two, but they were vaccinated people who got COVID. And I have yet to find, have gotten an answer from the University of Nebraska Medical Center or from the CDC if anybody's had natural infection from COVID and got the antibodies, if any of those have been reinfected. They refuse to tell that number. If they would put that on their data board, I'd go along with them. But they're pushing for the 40% of the people, which is 130 million people out of 300 or so, 130, 40.
I'll give you a little data, Mike. I'll give you a little data. You know, for me, one person, no, I haven't been reinfected.
No, neither have I.
So that's two.
Well, we got data. That's
we're building the numbers.
You boys have yourself a start.
Yeah, but they haven't. But why aren't they, why isn't the University of Nebraska saying, all right, student, bring in a blood test that shows you got the antibodies and you're fine? Or if you want to take the test every week or show us that you've been vaccinated. Why aren't they doing that? I seen in a paper the other day, the head of the UNMC infectious diseases said, made one little line that said that it's the same antibodies, basically the same antibodies, but there's more of them if you get vaccinated. Now, I don't know much about biology. I know enough in physiology that the human body, as long as it has the antibodies, the body knows how much to have in place. And once you're infected, it immediately creates more. So why does the number make a difference and where they came from make a difference? Nobody's answered that for me. Why? Why are they trying to have everybody forced to be the same? And I told somebody the other day, I don't think they're after herd immunity. They're after training us for herd mentality. As I said, no more individuality. We're all the same, and everybody's got to do this. And by God, you are a hero because you joined the group, and you did the right thing, and you wore a little armband that proved that you were one of them. I just don't like the way throughout history man hasn't changed, and there's too many times where pressure was put on to join the herd, and it's not a good thing. But anyway.
Senator Groney, we do need to wrap up, sir. Anything else you'd like to add this morning?
No, we're still pursuing some bills. Someday I'll talk to you about the Incorp. I'm still trying to get that done my last year. And just working with my office to clarify some things. We're going to expand micro-TIF a little bit, try to get the vacant lots and stuff in there because this housing crisis, workforce housing, we need to give it more tools.
Mm-hmm.
But those are, but we got plenty of time between now and January to talk about that.
Sure. We'll look forward to that conversation.
Go tonight if you're concerned about what the local economy and the future of, if you want to be Houston, Texas, and your kids in 30 or 50 years, and sit there and freeze for 4 weeks or so with no power, then you just sit at home and watch the survival shows and or go to that meeting tonight and explain to those folks we want heat and air conditioning security in Nebraska into the future. All right. Well, thanks, guys.
Thank you, Senator Groney. Have a good week.
Yes.
Time now for a quick news break on Mugs of the Morning. As always, Mugs of the Morning brought to you by local shelter insurance agents Bo Witt, Brent Rogo, and Pete Boltz.